Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about a subject matter that is dear to all of our hearts, money. Yes, that wonderful stuff that enables us to have freedom if we've got enough of it. But we're going to be talking with Lisa Serwin today. I love the title of her book, So Many Shoes, So Little Money. This is a gal's guide to finance, but trust me, guys, you could learn too. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a delight, Lisa. Here we are talking. You wrote this book on money, and you have been a chief financial officer, and you have a passion for shopping right down my alley. I mean, just a wonderful. Now, you decided you wanted to talk to women especially about money. Why?
Because I think more than men, although I hate generalizing, we seem to have a tortured relationship with it, particularly when it comes, at least in my case, to shoes. In other women's cases, it's for other things. But in researching my book and in my time in the corporate world, one of the things that I really noticed that as women, we are wonderful about talking about everything to each other. We talk about our relationships. We talk about our jobs. We talk about our families. We talk about just about every aspect of our lives except for money.
Mm-hmm. What do you think that is?
You know, I think it's still taboo for a lot of people. It's a cultural issue for one. And I think people are sort of uncomfortable about it in general. That's sort of one reason. I think a lot of women still think, or I hear them say, finance is boring, or I'm not good with numbers, or I'm terrible at math, which, you know, drives me up the wall, by the way, because we're all good at it, or even if we're not all good at it, to manage your money, you don't need complicated math. And while it may not be the sexiest topic out there, I think that being able to live within your means and living well within your means, whatever those means are, is about freedom and choices and opportunity, and I think that's really exciting. So I really wanted to try to get women more engaged, and partly, frankly, it's the financial community's fault, because although there's a ton of books about money, and there's even a ton of books for women about money, and for men for that matter, very few of them are any fun, quite frankly. They're dry, they're sort of boring, they tend to be a little preachy, and particularly if you're a young woman or you're just starting out, they can be a bit intimidating. So I really wanted to try to strip things down and frankly have fun with a subject that people really in the past haven't had that much fun with.
Well, I concur with that. Now, Lisa, there, I know you've sort of oriented this towards young women, but women of all ages, even mature women that maybe are going back into the workforce where they've been out for a while. I know with my counseling, I encounter many mature women over the age of 50, 60s, in their 70s, going back to work because of the economical positioning they find themselves in. They want to go in business for themselves. The information in your book would really go across the board.
It really does, and I've actually even had, although it, you know, my target audience, so to speak, was younger women, and the reason I did that was because, you know, frankly, personal finance isn't taught anywhere. It's not taught in high schools. It's not taught in colleges. Some people have parents who spend some time with them on money management, but a lot of them don't. And then, frankly, what happens, particularly in older age groups, is you maybe never learned it when you were younger, and then perhaps you got married, and your husband or significant other took care of the finances. And then through, you know, various reasons, you find yourself managing money now, or whether it's the economy, whether it's divorce, whether it's death of a spouse. And so what I really tried to do in the book was make it fun and strip it down to the basics. So there's nothing confusing. It's very basic. It's how to, And it's also about your relationship with money. So yes, I think it transcends for everybody, and I actually have quite a few men who've told me they've gotten a lot out of it. I just don't want to be misleading and have people think that, you know, it's for them if it isn't.
Now, you have some fun terms throughout your book. The first one is fashionista, which I thought was cute. And you said it was coined by Stephen Fried in The Thing of Beauty, his 1993 biography of a supermodel gift, to describe a designer, promoter, or arbiter of the latest fashions. And so it basically has evolved to meaning clothes horse.
It has, and indeed.
Yes. And it was, what, the choice for the New York Times, the 2008 Word of the Year?
Word of the Year, exactly. It was fashionista. And it tended to be used a little derogatory, as in women who love fashion more than they love everything else. And let me be clear at the onset. I know that women love more than clothes and shoes. That's a given. But I thought it was a wonderful way to talk about money. You can really draw some fabulous relationships between shopping and money. And frankly, if you can shop, you can manage your money. And when I say that, that's an eye-opener for a lot of women who have said to me, you know, that they just don't understand money management. And my contention back is, if you can figure 15% off at a sale, if you can figure out whether or not you can afford something, all the decisions, all the things that we have to think about when we're shopping, frankly, are the same things you have to think about when you're managing your money. So I thought it was a wonderful analogy, and it was the jump start for my book.
I agree, and I had to chuckle when you said women are often better at counting calories than their money. I think women are. They can tell you exactly what the calorie is in anything. Now, when people run a business, they always have to have a profit and loss statement and this type of thing. For the average individual that is out there that wants to work with a budget, the simple thing is look at your bills, look at the amount of money you've got coming in. If you don't have it, you don't spend it. But we live in a world that has a lot of variables in it, one of them called credit cards.
Yes.
And that has caused a lot of havoc for a lot of individuals. Let's address some of that and how to get past it so that maybe we can put those pieces of plastic away, because sometimes there are emergencies and they're going to be useful because it's a loan. It's a loan of money. So you have to look at it that way. So what would you want to say to someone that is working with a challenge like that, especially young people? I mean, they get credit cards. I know how many applications I get every week. Good Lord. You look at that and you go, what are these people thinking? They're sending out all these applications for credit cards saying, well, give you $10,000 here, $40,000 there, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you've got young people that have had no experience with this. What would you say to them, especially if they're in college and you get all of this seemingly magical stuff called credit cards?
Yeah, absolutely. So as good as a budget is for your finances is as bad as credit cards can be for your finances. And so in my book, I liken credit cards to little black dresses. They should only be used on special occasions. It's a very potent piece of plastic. And as you said, it is a loan. And unless you're able to pay your bill in full every month when it's due, not only is it a loan, but it's a loan with incredibly high interest rates. And the reason they are so bad for your finances is when you don't pay that bill in full, you get charged late fees and something called an APR, which is an interest rate. And APRs are charged daily on your balance. And interest rates, and I'll talk about what an interest rate is in just a second, for people who don't know, I think most people do though, are really high on credit cards. They're generally between 20 and now even 30%. So for every dollar you spend, 30 cents, if you don't pay your bill, you're paying 30 cents over and over and over to the credit card company. You might as well put that money in the middle of the room and set it on fire for all the good it's doing you. So the way to get control of credit card debt, first of all, if you're in debt with credit cards, the first thing you have to do is stop using them immediately. Now, easier said than done, I know. And sometimes you do need them for emergencies. And if you're out of work right now and you're using it to survive, that's a different issue. But If you're using it because you've bought too many shoes or because you've been spending on things that maybe you wanted but didn't necessarily need, then what you need to do is put them in a drawer and literally tuck them away and don't use them until you've paid that bill off in full. Because those interest charges add up quickly and they're terribly difficult to get out from under. The average college student graduates, believe it or not, with $5,000 in credit card debt. That's not student loans, that's credit card debt. Mm-hmm. And it's a terrible way to begin your life. It really is.
There's something that you have in here that I remember when I was working that I did, the company I worked for. In fact, there was more than one company I worked for through the years, and there was an automatic savings plan, and savings is so very, very important, and that was just done. If I didn't see it, great, it went into account, it was wonderful. And a lot of places don't offer that, but there are some that do. Can you set this up with your bank so that they'll automatically withdraw a certain amount from your account every month and put it in a savings account? What are the options for people?
Yes, you can do that, and I recommend that everybody doing that. The earlier you can start saving, and by the way, it is never too late to start, put a little bit away every month, the better. So yes, you can go to your bank, and you can, if you have a checking account, you can open a savings account, and you can instruct the bank to draw any amount of money on an automatic basis from your checking account into your savings account. There are also a lot of employers, although you're right, not all. It depends how they do their payroll, and some companies do payroll in-house, and some companies use, you know, big payroll processing firms like ADP. If your company uses a big firm, frequently they offer an option where you can split your paycheck. So you get X amount of money in your paycheck, but before you get your paycheck, they will also deposit money into your savings account. They'll actually split your paycheck for you. And out of sight truly is out of mind. And it tends to be that if we don't see it, we don't spend it. And so it's a fabulous way to save money that's actually pretty painless.
Right. And also, there's just so many little games you can play with yourself. And if you have it where you can put money aside for special things and say, well, I'll put $10 aside a month or a week or whatever you want to do for maybe that special trip to Europe, or set up a special account for Mad Money account where everything that goes into that account can really be just for your play money if you want it that way. So there's just so many different ways that you can do this. Now, I liked your story about Carrie and Miranda. This, and I know any guy in the world will remember this very, very well. He'll give it as an example to any of his ladies that are very significant to him when he wants to bring a coin across. But I love this. Carrie is in a shoe store with Miranda, and she said, "Where did all my money go?" Miranda said, "At $400 a pop, how many of these do you own in this shoe store?" This is a high-end shoe store. I've never paid $400 for a pair of shoes in my life. This gal has. And so she is asking her friend, how many of these do you own? 50. And Carrie says, "Oh, come on." Miranda says, 100. Carrie said, "Would that be so wrong?" And Miranda said, "Well, if you paid $400 times 100, there's your down payment for the home." And that came from Sex and the City, the program. You said that this was part of their script.
It was indeed, and it was actually a fabulous scene for anybody who's been trying to talk to people about why it's important to manage your money and why, more importantly, you need to think about where you're spending it. Because while you're right, $400 shoes are extreme, the point is we often spend money, big or little, on things that we either don't necessarily need or that we already have. I mean, I counsel any woman to run and look at her closet and tell me how many pairs of jeans she owns, for example, or black pants, or sweaters, or T-shirts. It doesn't matter what the affliction is. We all have one. It may be Starbucks in the morning even, right? It's that $5 cup of coffee that you do 5 days a week without thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
$5 a week times 5 days a week is $25 times 4 weeks is, you know, $100 a month times 12 weeks. You get the idea, $1,200 a year on a, you know, coffee and a muffin. Well, $1,200 a year, if you had put that in your savings account and earned a little interest, could lead you to a small goal, a big goal, you know, definitely a lovely trip to Europe. So, you know, there's lots of things we do without thinking, without really adding it up, that contribute to our always feeling like we don't have any money. And to what you were, to what you were saying earlier, sorry to interrupt, but when you make a budget, we were talking about businesses earlier, people should have a budget, and one of the things to do in a budget is to budget for the Starbucks or the shoes, and also for your savings. So if you have a line item in your budget that's for savings, and you treat it like you would your clothing allowance or your food allowance or your rent, it's also, it's a good way to save money, but it's also a great way to start to watch your expenses. And the reason people don't budget is they tend to think of budgets as a chore and as a punitive exercise, right? I can't do something because it's not in my budget. And so what I counsel and what's direct to this point is, If you can use a budget, if you can look at your spending and your savings and think about it as a way to achieve your life's goals, that's so much more palatable than seeing it as a punitive exercise. And so that actually makes it fun and rewarding. And if you do want a $400 pair of shoes, maybe there's a pair you've been coveting, who am I to judge, and you save up for it and you go get it, that's so rewarding. I mean, we all work hard and we're entitled to pretty things. There's nothing wrong with that. But you're only, you know, you only get to get them when you can afford them. And so if you can save up for them, that's a wonderful way to go about it.
You know, in today's world, this is something that a lot of people, they're very frightened, and they're looking at what's going on, and they'll just say, oh, my goodness, the economy may go in the toilet. What are we going to do? And they get very scared. But I know that even during worst of times, I can recall reading stories about people that went through the Depression. They would be very frugal about everything. And when they were frugal, they found that they were able to manage because they became innovative. They became imaginative. And I think that is something that's being brought out in today's environment with many individuals. They're saying, how can I do things differently? So where certain areas may be tough, my goodness, there's also a lot of places like gals, there's consignment shops, there's the sales. We all know about those sales. And if you do put the money aside, if you can get out of the having to have it now mentality saying, I can save up for this or I'll put something aside, it gives you a feeling of having some control. It gives you a feeling where you're not under tremendous pressure. So it's really good. One of the things that you brought up in your book that I thought was very, very interesting, and that is you talked about debit cards and you talked about prepaid cards. And I have my own opinions about debit cards. I think that's great. But if people don't keep good records, they shouldn't use them because you can end up in the deep six. And you don't have the protection on your debit cards like you do on credit cards. But give us your overview regarding debit cards.
Well, the reason I like them, and I like, and let me put them in order. So I think as bad as I think credit cards are for you, I think debit cards are much better. And the reason I think that they're better is purchases made on your debit cards are automatically itemized on your bank statement. So you're right. If you don't keep good records, you can get into trouble. And the reason, in case anybody doesn't understand that comment, is because a debit card pulls money directly from your checking account when you spend it. So if you're not keeping track, if you're not looking at your bank balance, you may not realize how much you have in there, and then you'll end up spending more than you've got. Now, when you do that on a credit card, you've got some cushion, in theory, because the bill doesn't come for a while, and so you can possibly save it back up and hopefully pay the bill in full. But the reason I like a debit card is because it can instill a financial discipline in people that don't have one, because it forces you to sort of think about your bank balance, to think about what's in your account in ways in which you maybe didn't do before. And because of the itemization, it helps you track your money, which makes it easier to budget, which I think is the most important thing you can do to manage your money. And so because it helps do that, I like them. And I like them better than prepaid cards because prepaid cards have so many hidden fees with them. Not all of them, that is a sweeping generalization, but many prepaid cards have more fees than I can count. They've got fees for spending on the card. There's fees for reloading the card. There's fees for having the card. There's fees for calling to ask a question about the card. There are all sorts of fees that go with them. If you lose your card, it can be difficult. So of the three, I like debit cards the best. That's not to say that they don't have their problems and weaknesses. They do. Everything does. But it's sort of a matter of balancing.
Now, you talk about good debt and bad debt. This is something that everyone at any given time is going to have debt. So the choices that we can make are, what are we going to put a lot of money into? Now, a home is one thing. Anybody that gets a mortgage, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's educational costs that you've just mentioned. There are needs like an automobile, et cetera. Give us your positioning on good debt, bad debt.
Absolutely. So not all debts are created equal. Some people think of debt as a four-letter word, and that's not a bad way to approach debt. But there really is such a thing as good debt. And the way I define good debt is, good debt is something that, although you had to borrow money, you have something of value after you've paid back what you owe. And so the question is, what does something of value mean? So an education is an example of good debt. In general, again, not always, but most of the time, the higher the education level you have, the higher the income bracket you can achieve. A little education can go a long way, and I'm all for it. So I think if you have to get an education and you need to go into debt to do it, that's an okay debt. But by the way, that doesn't mean you have to enroll in a private four-year Ivy League that costs $50,000 a year. There's lots of ways to get an education, public schools, community colleges that offer, a wonderful education for a lot less money. So you still want to be smart about the debt you're getting into. If you can, afford private school, fabulous. But if you can't, it doesn't mean that you can't get a wonderful education and hopefully actually spend a little less money doing it. A car can be good or bad debt depending on how you buy it and depending on why you're buying it. If you need to buy a car to get to and from work, to get to and from school, that's a good reason to go into debt. Now, never buy a new car. You should always buy a used car. New cars lose 10 to 15% of their value the minute you drive them off the dealer's lot. So you're always better off with a used car. Now, if you're buying a new car because you want a new car, because you feel like your car isn't high status enough, because you just want another one, that's not necessarily a good reason, but that's a lousy reason to go into debt. So partly it's motivation, partly it's the purchase. Houses can be, good or bad. I use them in the book as an example of good debt because they've got tax consequences. You can deduct your mortgage. And there's some other benefits with home ownership. You're building your equity and whatnot. But as we've seen, and recently, homes do not always go up in value. They can go down. So, like with anything, you just need to think about all of the risks. But not all debts are created equal. And if you go into them smartly, and if you can wind up with something of value at the end, it's not a bad thing.
All right, Also, by the way, you have all kinds of little fashionista things throughout your book, which I think is cute. And this one is founded in 1830. The oldest department store in the world is Austin's in Derry, Northern Ireland. Well, this shows us a lot has not changed. The department store, actually the very first department store, was Le Bon Marché in Paris, France.
It was indeed. And I use the department store as a way to talk about stocks and bonds, which can frequently be very overwhelming. And so what I've done in the book is I've used a department store as the analogy for a stock market. So you can think of the stock market as a department store, except for instead of buying bags, clothes, and shoes, you can buy stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and exchange-traded funds. And so I thought it was a fun way to wade into what can be a complicated subject.
Let's touch on that for just a moment, because we have had such catastrophes in the stock market, in mutual funds, in all of these things. It seems like we have to go through this about every 5 to 7 years. And when someone's looking at this and they're going, you've got to be kidding. Stock? Are you out of your mind, woman? Why would anybody want to do that?
Well,
what would you say to them?
For the new beginning investor, you actually would be out of your mind to start with stocks. But there are other financial instruments that have various levels of risk, starting with certificates of deposit or CDs or U.S. Treasury bills that are fairly safe, although they don't necessarily pay you a lot of money, but they may pay you more interest, more money than, say, a checking or savings account would. And if you're going to save your money, you'd like it to work hard on your behalf. You work hard for it, so it should work hard for you. But for a beginning investor, what I really recommend is planning. And what I mean by that, and doing your homework. And what I mean by that is, just like, you know, a great closet, a great clothing collection takes patience, planning, and strategy, so does learning how to invest. And so what I tell people is to educate themselves. There's some basic information in my book. There's lots of information available on the internet. And for the very beginning investor, the person that wants to wade in and get their toes wet, sort of in order of risk, as I mentioned, were CDs and treasury bills and treasury bonds, which are instruments issued and fully federally insured and backed by the U.S. government. Then there's corporate bonds, and all different kinds of corporation issue bonds, and a bond is a debt that a company takes on, and they pay you interest for investing in their debt. And if it's a really good, you know, blue chip, meaning highly rated company, that can be a fairly safe way to start. And then there's something called exchange traded funds or index funds. And what those are is they're a compilation of stocks that are traded on a stock market, but you don't actually own the individual stocks, and there's not actually a person doing the picking. It's done by computer. And while that sounds really frightening, what an exchange-traded fund does is it mirrors an index, like the S&P 500 index, which a lot of people might have heard of, which is the Standard & Poor's. And so you don't actually have to necessarily think about your investments as much, but there is risk. As the stock market goes up and down, so too do your investments. But the problem with not investing, or at least investigating investing, is yes, the market goes down, but the market also does go up. And as I said earlier, you know, you work hard for your money and you want to make sure it's working hard for you within a framework that you can tolerate. And all of us have different risk levels. So one of the things I do in the book is to assess your own risk level. I talk about, you know, how do you dress? If you're a, you know, very conservative dresser, chances are you shouldn't take a lot of risks with your money. If you're very flamboyant and you're going out in, you know, fishnet stockings and stiletto heels, you know, every day, all day, then maybe you can stand a little more risk. You've got a little more tolerance. And so you have to know yourself and do your homework before you do anything. But I encourage everybody to at least look into it and see if it's for them. And if it's not, then you shouldn't do it.
Well, we're almost out of time, Lisa, but you have so many unique applications in your book for finding out the status of the individual. In fact, you've even got numerology in here, and there's all just kinds of good information. Now, I do know you have a website, somanyshoes.net, and again, there's just all kinds of fun little tidbits, fashionista statements, and stuff on numerology to find out what kind of a money person on you, which, by the way, I'm a number two, and that is... And I'll share that with my audience after we come back from the break. But Lisa, what is the information people are going to find on your website?
So on my website, I have a link to the book, and I also maintain a blog, which is hopefully fun, with all sorts of different topics. I talk about budgeting and more on credit cards, more on everything that we've talked about, investing basics. And what I try to do on my blog and on my website is mix in serious and fun. So you hopefully really will learn things, but have a smile on your face while you're doing it.
That's right. And by the way, remember Carrie, the one that had the 400 shoes at $100 or whatever, 400 a pair? That is $40,000 this character invested in, even though it was make-believe. There are people that do that. Remember Imelda Marcos and a few others?
Imelda okay. Marcos, indeed, yes.
Yeah, so anyway, it's wild, wacky, but it's fun. So many shoes, so little money, a girl's guide to finance. But this is something, if you have a teenage daughter, what a wonderful way or a teenager in the family to introduce them to the aspects of money so that they can be empowered as adults. This is Donna Sebo. Lisa Serwin has been my guest. Again, her book, So Many Shoes, So Little Money, somanyshoes.net is her website. Check it out. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'm broadcasting live from utterly warm, fabulous Fairbanks, Alaska. It's hard to believe being up in the far north. Now, I know we've got a caller that just called in, so I'll be right with you. It is so hard for me to believe. In all the years I've been traveling up here, I cannot remember being up in Alaska in October in Fairbanks where there wasn't snow and ice on the ground. Let me tell you, the Fairbankians are just thoroughly enjoying this, and they're saying, whoa, I wish we could have this until, well, next spring, so we wouldn't have to go through the snow and ice, but that's not the way it's going to be. It's going to come in sometime, and we've got a few days more here. But anyway, if you want to call in and chat with me, we can do exactly that through the wonders of technology. The telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Let's go to our first caller, show you how it's done. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, where are you calling from?
Eatonville, Washington.
Well, wow, Eatonville. Great, beautiful country. Wow, it's pretty out there. And your first name, sir?
Donald.
Donald, all right. Donald, the first thing that I am picking up about you is you've got to have a plan of action. There is an agenda, or maybe I should use the word a projected goal that you want to be able to achieve. It is going to take you a bit longer than what you anticipate to reach it, but if you have a plan laid out, you will be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish. this is something that for you is going to be especially significant. You are going to be very much aware that there are setbacks that are going to occur when you least expect them. And so consequently, you need to have an attitude of preparation. And it is just being on guard, not fearful, but alert and on guard. And you've got a lot of a particular level of experience under your belt. You're wanting to add to that experience so that you can be able, so that you can feel like you've got more control. That's a word I think I would want to use over certain actions and interactions with people. But I also would like for you to have a mentor that you could work with, because that mentor would help you to see different aspects of maybe arenas of knowledge that you don't have, and they could help you weather some of these setbacks that you might find yourself encountering that you've had no experience with before. And setbacks aren't bad. They're all part of the learning process. It doesn't mean we jump up and down with joy when we go through them, but it's something that we say, okay, this is how I deal with it. This is the action I can take. I'll call somebody. If they have any other suggestions, I'll incorporate that in if it's going to work. If not, I'll do the best I can, and then I move on. And I think that you are becoming very much more attuned to what really is most important to you. So I want to encourage you to continue your education. You're going to be a lifelong learner, which is good. And I want you to realize that the financial situation that you are concerned about is going to level out, but it is going to take consistent effort, application, persistence, and a follow-through that you will see will reward you handsomely if you hang tough. What's on your mind, Donald? What did you want to ask me in the way of a question today?
Well, I'm going through a custody battle right now.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter's mom is doing everything in her power to keep me from my daughter. I mean, she's lying. She's, you know, coaching my daughter into saying things. And, you know, I was just kind of wondering, you know, what the outcome might be or, you know.
How old
you know,
is your
daughter?
How old is your daughter?
She's four.
Okay. First, understand your daughter really doesn't know what is going on in the real sense of the word. She's just being a little girl, and she's responding to her mother. You need to have some wisdom here and not use the little girl as part of the battleground. That the wife
yeah.
is doing this, that's understandable. You really need a mentor. Now, remember I mentioned that to you a little while ago? And you just need to have someone that can sort of assist you, because you're going to need an attorney to deal with this. And I would encourage you to try to find a mediator, someone that will work with you and will be willing to sit down with both you and your wife. And I know we can't go into a lot of detail because we're on the air and we don't have the time to do that. But there needs to be an approach here, because your little girl's just four, and you want to be sure that you have a good relationship with her. Is the wife in the local area?
Yes, she lives in Morton, Washington.
All right. You need to really look at certain perspectives. And this, again, you need to have someone that can help you mentor through this, because your emotions are in the middle of it, and there needs to be a leveling out here so that you can think clearly. The most important thing is the well-being of the child. You and your wife, obviously, are going to be going your own directions. That's fine. But you want to be sure that you do have the opportunity to have custody. And you want to be sure that you have information that can be verified, so that when you are in a position for negotiating, you don't let your emotions take over. And you don't speak before you think. You got to think
yeah.
first. So that's why you need someone to assist you. Does that help you?
Yeah.
Good. Just have someone with you whenever you're in negotiations, because it's easy to push your emotional button. You don't want to go there. You want to realize that you want to look out for the well-being of the child and make sure that there is a good playing ground or a leveling ground here in your interaction, because this is going to go on for a number of years. This isn't something that's cut and dried. You're going to have situations and conditions you're going to deal with. So you need to understand what your responsibilities are and what your wife's responsibilities are, and that both of you need to look about to be have foremost the well-being of that child first.
All right.
I want to thank you for your call.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome, Donald. I know we're sort of burping in and out here, but that's okay. I'm glad you could hear me, and you take care, and just know you can call back and let me know what happens.
All right, thank you.
You're very welcome, Don. You have a good day now. This is Donna Sebo. If you want to call in and chat with me, the telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And again, just like Donald, all I want is your first name or your initial. I like to know where you're calling from. And then after that, I'll tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me about a question, or ask me a question, I should say, about anything that is of interest to you. And I'll do my best to give you information as it comes to me. Also, I want to be sure to let those of you who are listening in Alaska know that I'm going to be in Anchorage, and I'm going to be available for consultations by phone or in person, and you can just call my office at 800-872-8852 and leave a message for me, and I will be getting back to you. So this microphone is going to be moving from Fairbanks into Anchorage, and we'll be really excited about broadcasting from there. It's a beautiful, beautiful place, and of course the weather here is just absolutely awesome. It will last maybe for a few more days before Old Man Winter decides to start tickling us with his cold, cold illusions and fantasies of brisker weather. Yes, that's going to be coming around the corner. And also, I want to let those of you know who are listening in the state of Washington, I'm going to be appearing on November 21st, which is a Saturday. I will be in downtown Tacoma at King's Bookstore. I'm participating in an event called the Dickens Festival. This is in its fifth year, I believe, and it's a wonderful family event. It's a great way to start off the holidays and to just have a good time with everyone that turns out. It's just wonderful. People interact. There's games. There's the horse and buggy situation, rides, and all kinds of activities going on. So go to Dickens Festival, Tacoma, Washington, on the internet, and you'll be able to get all the details and information that you need. I'll be at King's Bookstore doing many readings, and part of the proceeds will be going towards a chosen charity that we'll be focused on in the local area. So you can check at King's Bookstore. I'll be there from 12 noon until 4 doing many sessions for people. So I just wanted to let you know about that, too. Humpty Dumpty Medicine. Well, I'll tell you, I am absolutely astonished at the development of knowledge and information that is being offered to us today in the world of medicine. I know we all have complaints about the medical system and so on and so forth, but fortunately, there are some very dedicated researchers that, regardless of the climate of economics or politics at any given time, are still looking for results, ways of making life a little bit better. I had a client today that I was talking with that is going to have to go through two knee surgeries because there's no cartilage left in her knees. And this is something that I know has been worked on for a long time, and they're wondering, what can we do that can actually help the body regenerate areas that have become worn down? You know, there are some professions like nurses and people that are on their feet a lot, salespeople. They don't have an awareness of how their posture and standing on their feet all the time is going to sometimes tear up those knees. Well, here's some information that I came across. It was written up by Monica Heger, and I just think it's fabulous. And if you know of anybody that's going through knee problems, I think being aware of this is very, very important. Now, I'm watching the clock. It looks like we need to take a break here. So when I come back, I'll share it with you. Also, if you want to call in and chat with me, the telephone number is 888-815-9756. This is Donna Sebo in Fairbanks, Alaska, soon to be going into Anchorage, but we will be coming back in just a moment. So don't go away.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Also, if you'd like to have a reading, I'd be delighted to do that for you. Light up your life with a little bit of insight, 888-815-9756. Well, there is the repairing of injured ligaments, tendons, and cartilage. How do we do it? Well, it's tough. And broken bones, we've sort of got that down. But I remember a friend's husband who went through like 28 surgeries to receive finally the mending of his bone, and they ended up using electricity to help his bone mend. It's just amazing the various situations that can happen. Now, tendons, which are essential connectors between muscle and bone, when they are severed, they will surgically try to anchor a tendon to a bone. This too frequently fails because they're composed of different elements, different materials. They say it's like joining a rope to a cement wall. You have to be able to make the right kind of a connection. This is what they're finding that is working. They are building synthetic interfaces that recreate the architecture of natural connective tissue in hopes of tricking the body to regrow the broken connection. When you think about lizards that lose their tails and they regrow them, there are some critters that even can have appendages removed and they grow them back. Scientists have been fascinated with this and they've been trying to figure out how we could apply that to the human body. Well, there are two biomedical engineers at Washington University in St. Louis, and they're working with a scaffold, and I've got a picture of it in front of me, that's made of microscopic nanofibers. Have you heard anything about them? Well, they're becoming a very hot item. This particular scaffold is extremely pliable, and it is something like a tendon at one end, but it's denser and more bone-like towards the other. And what these researchers have said is that there's a lot of mineral in bone and none in the tendon. So at the interface, there's a gradation. So the scaffold simulates that gradient, and when they've experimented with this, the precursors of bone and connective tissue cells did regenerate on this scaffold. And it ended up creating the very thing that was needed for tendon reattachment. So they're working with this on rats at this time. Also, synthetic mimics of cartilage which is like a shock absorber. And, you know, those shock absorbers on your car, we just take them off when they're worn out and we put them back on, put new ones on. Well, the doing it with the knee or other joints, that's pretty tough. They are moving along, however, very quickly in developing something that can be synthetic and used in the human body. And this past February, apparently in Britain, there was an orthomimetics company that began a human trial of an implant of this type, and it was built from protein collagen. And this is a very important building block of the body's tissues, and also the mineral calcium phosphate. So they are working very diligently, and I think that in our lifetimes, we're going to see how we will actually be like bionic people. If cartilage disappears, they'll be able to do an insert, and it will be just a tiny, tiny incision, and the body will regenerate what it needs to do. It's a fascinating arena of research and exploration. A lot of people would say it's sci-fi, but it isn't. There is all kinds of research that is going on, and we've got some wonderfully talented people that are going to be guests on this show that will be talking about the research areas that they have explored. And remember, it takes a lot of people to be able to do this. It's not just one person. There's not just one answer for anything. There's a composite of answers and opportunities. Next week, I did want to mention on Monday, and you won't find this on the board of information on bbsradio.com, but it's coming up. I've got a very fine, fine author, Russell, who's going to be talking about wolves. We're going to be talking about them on Monday, so I wanted to mention that quickly because I don't have it up on the site. I know we've got a caller. Let me get to this caller quickly. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Where are you calling from, dear, and what's your first name?
I'm calling from South Carolina. My name is Tony.
Where in South Carolina, Tony?
A small town called Camden.
Camden. South Carolina is just so special. What history you've got there. It's just amazing.
Yes.
Okay, Tony, let's get down to business with you. You are wanting to put the brakes on. You are getting a little frightened. You're getting a little concerned because there are conditions and situations that are moving around you very rapidly. And you are saying, I want to put the brakes on so that I can really make a good evaluation of everything that's going on. Well, this is a very natural response on your part. And I would say, I don't see how you're going to be able to put the brakes on, but I'd tread water. In other words, don't come to a dead stop. Don't say, I don't want anything to do with anything. You need to have a little bit less pressure on you. And if you will take the time to just slow down enough, you are going to find yourself clearing your mind and being able to make the decisions you need to make effectively, because you will have slowed down enough to be able to evaluate all the facts that are in front of you. Now, you have a very high intuitive level, Tony, and I want you to trust yourself. Don't be afraid of making a mistake. You need to know that you are not lost, you are not drowning, you're doing a good job, but you're also learning how to think differently at this time in your life, and that's invaluable. Dear, what question do you have for me? I know we've only got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
I'm absorbing what you just said, so that's pretty awesome. Okay. Everything is answered. Thank you.
Cool.
Okay.
Well,
thank
that's
you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for your call, Daryl, and tell your friends about the show.
Yes, I will. Thank you for your guidance and your intuition.
Oh, you're welcome, Tony. Don't be so harsh on yourself, dear. You're doing all right.
Okay,
this is Donna Siebel. My goodness, we're almost out of time. Well, I'll be back tomorrow right here, same time, same place, and you'll have an opportunity to call in again. And we are going to have a wonderful guest tomorrow. We're going to be talking with Jennifer Kornbleet. Yes, food. Don't we all love it? How about desserts? We try to avoid it. We don't want to put those pounds on. Well, what about raw for dessert? Sound a little strange? Well, I'll tell you what, it's good stuff. So we're going to be talking about food tomorrow. Make sure you have that pad of paper and pen handy. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be talking with you again in my Anchorage, Alaska. This microphone will be live from that beautiful community. Talk to you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.